Growing up, we learned the most important skill, practice. You dutifully studied your instrument 3 hours a day for 10 years. That's 10,000 hours. In his book, Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell expounds upon the 10,000-hour rule. He points to a study on violin students in Berlin, the Beatles and their years playing small venues, and of all things, rice paddies. Meaning, if you do a thing for 10,000 hours, you study the violin, you hone your performance as a band, or you maintain your rice paddy, somewhere along the way, you become an expert. Welcome back to A Cello Rondo. I'm Paula Tuttle, and today we're talking about how can we cross the chasm from becoming an expert to becoming famous, because it's neither a logical progression nor automatic. Being the very best technician doesn't naturally lead to being a superstar. Being a superstar means having charisma, harnessing opportunity, and making your own luck. You could be the greatest musician on earth, but if you set up your instrument in the metro station and opened your case for donations, most people would walk right on by. They wouldn't be able to recognize your fabulous talent. Joshua Bell actually tried this as a kind of anthropology experiment, and Gene Weingarten wrote a book about it called Fiddler in the Subway. You've probably heard about it. People ignored the virtuoso mostly. A few stopped and noticed he was exceptional, but the book makes a really important statement about marketing. If you're playing in the subway, you must be barely getting by. If you were successful, you'd be elsewhere. The 21st century has been about turning this kind of thinking on its head. People who have made a name for themselves are doing things like going into schools, communities, and countries that are underserved to not only perform but to help alleviate the cycle that keeps people from breaking barriers like class and poverty. There's been a wave of interest in helping hospital patients, homeless children, and incarcerated citizens better themselves by experiencing, learning, and even playing instruments. In fact, you could say that we now expect the most successful people to become philanthropists. Yo-Yo Ma talks about Doctors Without Borders.
We're celebrating the 20th anniversary of a really remarkable organization that was created by the vision of an extraordinary human being. Kenro Izu is not only a great artist, but he's obviously an artist who is a very great humanitarian.
Elton John talks about the firefighters in Australia.
There's something much more important I need to speak to you about, and that is happening in Australia right here. It's an apocalyptic, absolute disaster. You should all be in awe of the work that the firefighters are doing. Therefore, tonight, I will be pledging $1 million to support the Bushfire Relief Fund.
Juan Jaramillo talks about El Sistema.
One of the things that I'm very proud to see is how the education of El Sistema has changed. So how they are reaching into juvenile detention centers, jails. Now, instead of having like a woodworking class, they have how to make instruments.
So back to being a great musician. Being a really well-trained musician or singer doesn't tell you how to become a successful artist. You've got the stick-to-itiveness, the training, and the motivation. How do you get to the famous part? Maybe we need to take a step back. When you learned to practice every day, you had to give something up. Your freedom. Maybe your freedom to play with your friends. Or maybe it was something else. Somewhere along the way, you learned that if you got good grades and had some successful recitals, you enjoyed the spotlight. Pretty early on, you learned how to deal with stardom. We all had a taste of it. In order to make it all the way, you embraced a two-pronged system of hard practice and building your reputation. And these things seem to be in opposition. Practicing seems to be about putting in the work and knowing you'll get noticed on your merits. Becoming famous is more about telling complete strangers that you're stardom worthy and seeing who jumps on board. In the humorous novel Syrup by Max Berry, irony is the main staple. Triple your price. This gives customers the impression of great quality. Helps profits, too. The book is making the point that marketing is whatever reality you want to create. So why not begin with the reality you want to create? So if Joshua Bell had put up a sign in the subway saying, "I'm Joshua Bell, I've performed on stages throughout the world, and I've been recorded on no less than 10 labels," people probably would have stopped and listened. If you told your audience you just finished a tour with Taylor Swift as a side musician, your audience would be more impressed than if you kept it to yourself. People need to be told, and I am no exception. I don't pay nearly as much attention to Taylor Swift as my youngest niece, Nina, does. Her parents bought her tickets to a Taylor Swift concert one Christmas, and I had barely heard her name. But having heard her name again and again, I watched a documentary she made during the pandemic in her home studio. I became a member of her mass market. To get to famous, you start by telling the world you're fame-worthy. You don't wait for someone to say it first. You said it first when you played for them. Your music says the story. Then you make an album. Used to be, you recorded an album in a professional studio to make money. If you could get a label to promote you, you had connections on the radio, and you got airplay. And that translated to people going out and buying your records. You were paid by the label before the record was even made. Then, the record company reaped most of the rewards. Not so much these days. Today, the formula is the opposite. Used to be that bands toured in order to sell the albums, and the record companies paid for that too. Today, the records or CDs or EPs, extended play recordings that are sold in downloads only, they serve to promote you as a touring artist. In his book, How Music Works, David Byrne proposes a hybrid method that lays somewhere between do-it-yourself, DIY, and distribution by labels. Because his latest recording contracts barely covered the costs of recording, which are monumental between the studio recording rates and the union musician rates, a $20,000 retainer fee gets eaten up very quickly. Then services like Spotify will pay pennies for airplay. The musicians don't reap much of anything at all from recordings anymore. I think it's kind of great that the performance aspect is the biggest part of being famous these days. One sign of being mega successful is your tickets sell in the first few minutes or seconds. Then having the tickets scalped online or in front of the hall before the concert. Who among us aspired to this kind of anomaly? Being famous has a lot of drawbacks. Do we really want that kind of recognition where you can't go anywhere because people go kind of crazy? I was thinking about it yesterday at the gym. If Will Smith was working out in my gym, could people leave him alone? Of course not. So I guess everyone wants to be successful, but we want to be somewhere in the middle. Most of us won't be recognizable wherever we travel. But I was at a party once where Edgar Snyder was a guest, and even at that level of fame, it impacted his life. Can Ben Roethlisberger go anywhere and be treated regular? Being regular is a privilege. We have to find the middle ground. If you want to be successful, you learn how to put yourself out there. Show your talents, and let a few people appreciate you. The best of both worlds would be to have your fan base and be regular enough to be free to be unrecognizable. It's a hard needle to thread. Add to that, musicians have a hard time balancing diligence of daily practice and marketing themselves. The two things don't go hand in hand. That's why you get an agent. But there's nothing that says you can't do it yourself. Find some time to get good at marketing your trade. I should mention, there are reasons to not get an agent. An agent might require you to give them a cut of every gig you book after signing with them, and this could be a problem. What if you have multiple agents? What kind of agreement would work there? And what if an agent doesn't come through and you start getting gigs elsewhere, but you owe him a fee? They might be focused on another client, and they might not get you the gigs you want. Or you might get tied to a tour that takes you away from the better opportunities. Self-reliance, again, is the winner, just like the DIY recording method. Being recognizable, but to be able to walk into a subway or even play your instrument in the subway and not be noticed, that's the needle we all want to thread. Becoming famous enough. What's your business plan? What's your 10-year strategy? Who has a career you could shadow? Maybe find a mentor. Make yourself useful to a person or organization that can promote you. Your orchestra has outreach opportunities. Talk to your manager. Have a day job? Tell your boss you're a musician. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Talk to a nonprofit that has a fundraiser and offer to play for the cocktail hour. Find an open mic at a restaurant. Join your local arts council. Or just open up Google and start typing your favorite type of event and see what's happening. Get your ideas down on paper. See your vision start to take shape. If you have an idea or a question, you can drop me a line at acelerandocast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you and see what you have going on. The podcast has been going for 6 months now, and I'm looking for guests to join me in the next year. I hope to bring you some really juicy episodes. I want to thank all of my listeners thus far. You've been writing to me how much you enjoy the show, and I really appreciate that more than you can ever know. If you think of someone to share this episode with, or the podcast in general, please share freely. And there's a subscribe button on the Apple Podcasts. Looking forward to the new year and the possibilities it holds. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.